listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, continuing to preview the national championship game Monday in Miami. Yesterday we talked Alabama. Let's get the Ohio State side of things. And let's go to our Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Joey Kaufman joins us, Columbus Dispatch, to talk Buckeyes. How are you, Joey?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Did you find it surprising, as much of the nation did, with the efficiency and the preparedness of that Ohio State team against Clemson?
I think you had to, because that was a game that we had not seen from Ohio State all season. If you were to ask me in September if I was surprised, I would have said no. But through the first six games Ohio State had played in the regular season, they hadn't put a complete game together like that. They had shown flashes between the passing game, the running game, and their defense, but there was never one game where all three of those phases were really clicking at the same time, and that happened in the Sugar Bowl, and they were able to steamroll Clemson as a result. I don't think any of us expected them to win as handily as they did.
Before we get to some of the specifics about what it would take to beat Alabama, let's go over the season. A lot of people have been pointing out that, you know, this Ohio State team, you kind of alluded to it, that was never really complete, especially on the offensive line. What kind of regular season, and maybe even the conference championship game added to that, what has it been like for Ohio State and Ryan Day?
There's really been a lot of disruption, and I know a lot of people focused on the fact that, oh, Ohio State will go into the playoffs fresh. They haven't played as many games. They don't have the wear and tear on their bodies. But from Ohio State's perspective, they never really felt like they were able to get in a rhythm or really kind of get their sea legs a little bit, because they started the season much later than the other conferences did, in late October. And they play 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. They have three pretty much normal weeks where they don't have any coronavirus cases, and their roster's together, and they play in consecutive weeks. And they started to get a feel for things. And then around Thanksgiving time, they have an outbreak of cases, and they have to cancel a game against Illinois, and they had a previous game against Maryland canceled because of COVID issues at Maryland. So then you get to this back half of the season in late November and December, where you have a lot of starters out for some games. They played Michigan State without three of their five starters on the offensive line. So it was just a very choppy finish to their season, a lot of stop and start and stop and start. They played three games in 6 weeks. So for the coaching staff, they never really felt like they had really a strong grasp of their roster. And for a lot of players, they never felt as if they were truly able to get in a rhythm.
So a limited number of games, a season that there really wasn't a rhythm with postponements, cancellations, and whatnot. Whereas Alabama seemed to, you know, get through their schedule, had some bumps in the road as well. But a lot of national attention outside of Tuscaloosa and Columbus and Ohio and Alabama may have been focused on what, you know, Mac Jones was doing, and maybe not so much Justin Fields. What kind of season was he having before his 6-touchdown performance against the Tigers?
It was a lot like Ohio State's season. In the first few weeks, he was brilliant. I mean, he threw at one point as many touchdowns as incompletions in the first couple weeks. But getting into mid to late November, he threw three interceptions against Indiana. That was the first time he had thrown multiple interceptions in a Big Ten game. You know, wasn't a very efficient quarterback, but that was caught a lot of people off guard because he hadn't been turnover happy at any point, and then goes out in a big time game against Indiana Hoosiers and throws three picks. But still, overall, a good game. He would attribute some of those interceptions to maybe trying to force too many big plays, and he still had a share of big plays. And then in the Big Ten Championship against Northwestern, he has another multiple interception game, throws two picks, and completes less than 50% of his passes for the first time in his career. So going into this big-time Sugar Bowl game where he throws a career-high 6 touchdown passes and plays through bruised ribs and a sprained thumb, he was also coming off the worst statistical game of his career. So there was a lot of questions just going into that semifinal, just how would he respond from the choppy last leg of the season.
We all know how important offensive lines are, and when they're gelling, it allows the offense to open up with the quarterback, protecting the quarterback, allowing him to do what he does. But for Ohio State, what we saw in the Sugar Bowl was an amazing offensive line performance, the way they pushed Dabo Sweeney's Clemson Tigers around, but also opened up the running game, and then Justin Fields does what he does. Was that give us an idea of how inconsistent that was this year for Ohio State.
That was the Ohio State's offensive line was supposed to be one of their strongest groups coming in. They're led by center Josh Myers, who's a Remington Award finalist. The right guard Wyatt Davis is another guy who's probably going to be a high draft pick next year's draft. They had returning tackles, so they had a lot of depth on the offensive line and a lot of their big time starters back, and they've done a good job of protecting Justin Fields for the most part. But really, where I think their calling card is just the way they're able to open up holes in the running game, and I think that's why you'll be able to see Trey Sermon really come on strong, the running back for the Buckeyes, and a graduate from Oklahoma have such a strong late season stretch run is because he'll run through some gaping holes set by the offensive line and really set by the interior from their guards, the way they're able to block and create some openings for him. But in some ways, they are a spread team. Ryan Day is really modernized their offense, but they do have some traits and some hallmarks of a classic Big Ten team with some big guys up front.
So during the SEC season, we saw Kyle Trask being able to throw against Alabama, Kellen Mond been able to throw against Alabama. The way Justin Fields is playing, do you sense a vulnerability on Alabama's defensive side against the pass?
I think so. I think partly it's just the way college football is played. If you have a good passing game, you're going to be able to get yours if you do everything you're supposed to. I think if Justin Fields is healthy, I think he's going to have a chance to put up big numbers against Alabama secondary, and that's been a group that's been exposed a little bit with the deep ball. I think Alabama's given up 11 pass plays of 40-plus yards or more, and Ohio State was able to throw downfield against Clemson. Especially it helps that they've had Chris Olave back. He missed the Northwestern game after testing positive for the coronavirus and really wasn't for sure going to be able to play against Clemson until a couple days before the game. He talked about just his legs being tired, and Justin Fields hit him twice on touchdown passes, including a 50-plus yard deep ball. That's one of his favorite targets, especially their deep downfield connection. So getting him back was huge because Ohio State does not have a ton of depth at wide receiver. They have two really, really good receivers in Olave and Garrett Wilson, who moved into the slot this year. But they have a lot of untested guys outside of those two. So getting Olave back was really critical if they're going to be able to take advantage of Alabama downfield.
All right, let's take a look at the defensive side because we know Alabama's offensive guys have been getting all the awards this year. Defensively, how do the Buckeyes look?
They are good up front. They've always really, it's been sort of a theme for them the last few years. They're coached by Larry Johnson, who's really a technician in terms of teaching defensive linemen, and it's no secret they've produced a lot of NFL guys out of that spot, from the Bosa brothers to Chase Young last year, and they have some good players up front this year, from Tyreek Smith and Jonathan Cooper and Tommy Togiai and Haskell Garrett in the interior of the defensive line. So they're a group that's going to be able to generate some pressure, and that'll be, I think, the matchup to watch in this game is Ohio State's defensive line against Alabama's offensive line, which is arguably the best in the country after winning the Joe Moore Award and the way they're able to protect Mac Jones. But if Ohio State could get some pressure on them, that's something they could really stand to benefit from. But where Ohio State, I think, has had their bigger issues on defense is in the back end. It's a young secondary. The only returning starter was Sean Wade, who he himself moved from slot corner to outside corner, so he was learning a new position in the secondary. And you have a lot of young starters who have only started half a dozen games. That's really a product of this shortened season, is they had a lot of new starters they needed to break in, and they don't have a lot of experience to fall back on because they've only played a handful of games.
Joey Kaufman joins us, Columbus Dispatch on Ohio State, as they get ready for Miami and their game against Alabama for the national title. Joey, how loose is this team? We talk about teams going into these big stages, and Ohio State certainly is a big school that gets on the big stage. They looked very confident and very prepared for Clemson. How loose are they going into Monday?
I think the largest question about, I guess, the emotional state of Ohio State will be how much gas they have left in the tank, because they had put so much effort and focus and drive into beating Clemson. This has been the thorn in their side in recent years. It's been their main roadblock in terms of advancing in the playoff. Clemson beat Ohio State in 2016. And 2019, and last year's loss was really heartbreaking because Ohio State had been up 16-0 in the game, and they plastered the score of that game in their weight room during winter conditioning. So it was something that really had been a driving focus for them throughout much of the year. And you saw in the way they celebrated at the end of the game, the parents of players were chanting Dabo, Dabo, because they remembered his coach's poll vote. They doused confetti and Kerry Combs, the defensive coordinator, was doing snow angels and the confetti on the field. So it had the feel of a very much a team that accomplished one of their biggest goals of the season. So I think the emotional regrouping of them will be key. Obviously, I think they're going to try very hard in the national title game to beat Alabama, but you just wonder how much they have left in the tank and how much energy was spent trying to beat Clemson 10 days ago.
Yeah, I saw it written that it's very comparable to the hockey team in 80, beat the Soviets, but you still had to beat Finland to win the gold. But all the energy and all of the attention was on that game against the Soviets. Is that, how does Ryan Day handle that? How does Ryan Day, you know, because again, that was a classic last year. That was a disappointing loss, but that was one of the more epic college football playoff games that we've seen since its arrival. How does Ryan Day handle that going into Miami?
I think it's one of the key X factor things for Ryan Day to handle this week. And all the players and Ryan Day have said all the right things this week. They've talked about beating Clemson was not the season's goal, or their ultimate goal was to win a national championship. They've given lip service to that. And I'm sure they would love to win a national championship. I expect them to maybe be a little looser because they've been able to knock off Clemson at some point. Sure, you spend a lot of energy to beat Clemson, but at some point, your season was redeemed a little bit, and you're playing with house money a little bit. So I think that's something that also could come into play, where they've kind of gotten through that stage. They can take a deep breath a little bit, but I think kind of maintaining focus and having the same sort of energizing performance will be something to watch.
All right, your final thoughts on the game and as a whole. The names are there offensively. We know it from Alabama. We know it from Ohio State. These are the names that have been prominent in college football. Do you think in the end this is a shootout? This is a high-scoring affair, and may the winner is the last team standing?
I think so. I think one of my colleagues at the paper this week remarked this is going to be kind of like an arena football league game where you just need a couple stops here and there. If you get a couple stops, you're going to win. I think that'll probably be true. I don't see how this game is anything but a shootout, and for your both teams are scoring 35 plus points. I think Ohio State can certainly hang with Alabama. I mean, look, the offensive performance they had against Clemson was no fluke. Six of their seven touchdown drives when 80 plus yards. So they were driving the length of the field on this team. It was not like they sort of stumbled into the opportune field position and was able to just punch it in. They were moving the ball with surgical precision against Clemson. So I think it'll be a high-scoring game. I think it's going to be hard for Ohio State because I just don't trust their secondary in a big game like this against Mac Jones, and you're asking a lot on the defensive line to get pressure on them. I think that's certainly possible. I think they'll be able to pressure Mac Jones, but I don't think it'll be enough in the end. I think I have to give the edge to Alabama ultimately.
Joey, great time. Appreciate it so much. Good insight on this game, and enjoy down in Miami. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Joey Kaufman, Columbus Dispatch on the Buckeyes. Some good stuff to dissect when we come back. It is Tony D. Ron Culver. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.